seconds. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
We're back for another edition of Drive Time Sports right here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. And you know, I'm always happy to join you on the afternoon drive. Always happy to be along talking both local and national sports. And that's what's on tap today. We're going to divide it up. A lot of baseball talk to get into. Day games going on right now. There's been some fun storylines in the bigs. The Oakland A's finally moving in the right direction. The New York Yankees, not so much. That's been a real interesting storyline. Like, Gerrit Cole's been phenomenal. If you're a Yanks fan, you can rely on Gerrit Cole. Outside of that, there's been some problems with the Yankees. Been a couple of problems. We'll get into that in just a bit. We'll also talk about the local sports scene. Yesterday, the Emory Spartan baseball team suffering their first loss of the region season, falling on the road to South Sevier 14-5. I'll give you the rundown on that coming up here in just a moment during the local sports recap. And that's coming up in just a bit here on Drive Time Sports. We will be joined by manager Rob Smith. He's going to join us over the phone next segment. We'll talk about how the team performed. We'll talk about the RPI. Emory right now number 7. It's a good spot to be in. And Emory has number 4 Union coming up tomorrow. That's a huge game. That's what's so great about the RPI, is these games, these out-of-region games in April, really have a lot of meaning. A lot of them do. I mean, there was once upon a time that was not the case. It's an opportunity for you to see some live pitching, get a couple of at-bats against someone that's not your team. That's why you would schedule those games in April. Tomorrow's game for Emory is a big one. Number 4 versus number 7. So we'll talk to manager Rob Smith about that a little bit later on in the show. Let's take a look at what's happening in the NFL. Big news coming out today. Jadeveon Clowney has a new home. He has reached a one-year deal worth up to $10 million. It's not the market that Clowney thought he would get when he left Houston. Not the market he thought he would get during his time in Seattle. The market just hasn't been kind to Clowney. It hasn't. I don't believe that Clowney is the impact player that everyone believes he is, or once at one time believed. Right? Because in the media and fans, we held this aura over Jadeveon Clowney. And a lot of it has to do with some of the plays that he made, the spectacular plays that he made in college. But when you look at his actual impact on the field, it hasn't been great. I think there's a huge possibility that that changes this year because Clowney signs a one-year deal with the Browns, and now he will line up opposite of Myles Garrett. And Myles Garrett is an absolute freak. There was a chance that this could happen, right? There was a chance last year that this could happen. He was heavily pursued by Cleveland, and the Browns made great strides. They took the two-time defending AFC champions to the brink. And you wonder how things would have worked out if Clowney would have signed in Cleveland last year. Instead, he opted for a one-year deal with the Titans, and we all know how that worked out. He struggled. 19 tackles, 0 sacks in 8 games before he suffered a season-ending knee injury. And in my mind, there was 2 spots for Clowney. Well, I'm going to change that. 3 spots for Clowney. He needs to play opposite of an outstanding pass rush, and he may get one more good-sized contract in the NFL. But he's got to line up opposite of someone. I thought LA was a possibility as well, because I think that Myles Garrett, he may not impact the game the way Aaron Donald does, but he's pretty close. This guy's fantastic. Over the past 3 seasons, Clowney is ranked 5th in the NFL in a pass rush win rate of 25%. That's top 5. During that span, Myles Garrett ranks 3rd. So you see the disruption that Cleveland has the possibility of presenting opponents. And I look at that division in general. We have the Pittsburgh Steelers, who could not run the football. They have an aging quarterback. Yikes. Going up against that pass rush, that could be possibly lethal. You look at the Baltimore Ravens. You have to develop a pass rush against Lamar Jackson, or he will flat out kill you. We've seen that time and time again. And then you look at the Cincinnati Bengals, who have a quarterback, franchise quarterback, by the way, in Joe Burrow, coming off a devastating knee injury with a suspect O-line. As we talked about on the show yesterday, we know that the Bengals have got to be looking for protection for their asset long term. This is a no-brainer. I mean, we could scratch our heads in NFL free agency from time to time, ask what a team is doing. I don't have to ask here. This is an absolute home run no-brainer. The Cleveland Browns knock it out of the park by giving Jadeveon Clowney a one-year deal. I don't believe that Clowney has ever lived up to the hype that surrounds him. But when you look at what defensive players do in the NFL, look, I'm going to use Leonard Floyd as an example here, okay? And the reason I'm going to use Floyd is because he had a disappointing career in Chicago. He just did. He leaves Chicago. He goes to L.A. He plays alongside Aaron Donald, one of the greatest football players that I've ever seen. And he gets a massive contract. There's a recipe for success in the NFL. And the way the game has evolved, it's finding complementary pieces, especially on opposite ends. That's why this is a win for Clowney. It's a win for Cleveland. Because I don't know of too many players that I would fear more coming off of the edge than Myles Garrett. That guy is a flat-out beast. I absolutely love what the Cleveland Browns did today. Let's move over to the NBA. We'll take a look at the schedule. Last night, the Utah Jazz getting a win. They needed a win. They needed that in the worst possible way. Because if you're unfamiliar with the standings, Utah right now just a game and a half up on the surging Phoenix Suns, who have won 9 out of 10. Utah had to have that win against Oklahoma City last night. Because the one seed, it's a big deal based on the fact that Denver may be slipping now and the Lakers are about to get healthy. So the one seed's a big deal. David Locke has said this time and time again on his broadcasts that if you're the number one seed, you will avoid Dallas, Portland, LA, Denver, the Clippers, and the Suns in round one. Think about that. Think about the gauntlet of teams that I just went over. Maybe get Memphis. Maybe it's San Antonio. Maybe it's Golden State. I don't care who it is. Out of the three that I just mentioned, I don't want to see Luka Doncic. I don't want to see Dame Lillard. I don't want to see LeBron and AD. I don't want to see the guy that I would vote for MVP in Jokic. You want to see the duo of Kawhi and Paul George? You want to see the surging Suns team? The one spot, it's a pretty big deal. So the Jazz get a win last night. They needed it in the worst way. Big victory for the Jazz. Tonight, 5 o'clock tip-offs. We get Cleveland at Charlotte. The Hornets looking to rebound from a loss last night against the Lakers. We get Brooklyn at Philadelphia. This game is on ESPN, and it's unfortunate because this is the Eastern Conference Finals, in my opinion. I actually still believe that Philadelphia can come out on top of Brooklyn. I believe it. But there's no Kevin Durant. There's no LaMarcus Aldridge. There's no Blake Griffin. There's no James Harden. They're all out against the Philadelphia 76ers. And that's too bad because this right here has all the makings when healthy of being just an incredible game. And I almost believe that some of this is gamesmanship from the Brooklyn Nets. I think it's set in stone. I mean, barring a major injury, I think it's Philly. I think it's Brooklyn. And you can call me crazy all you want. Right now, I take Philly. I think Philly is better equipped to beat Brooklyn in a 7-game set than a lot of people think. It's unfortunate that all four of those guys are out in this game tonight for Brooklyn. 5 o'clock start time of that contest. 5:30 tonight, we get San Antonio at Toronto. 6 o'clock hour, it's the Clippers at Detroit. The Bulls play host to the Magic. We get the Knicks and the Pelicans. 7 o'clock tonight, Indiana at Houston. The Warriors take on Oklahoma City. Look at a rebound from the loss to the Jazz last night. Memphis and Dallas, 7:30 tip-off. This game on ESPN. 8 o'clock tonight, we get Miami at Denver. And then in the nightcap, it's Washington and Sacramento. That's a look at what's happening in the national sports front. We're going to break for just a moment. And again, I'll give you a rundown of who's joining me on the show today. Local sports recaps coming up next. We'll be joined by Coach Rob Smith of the Emory Spartan baseball team. Plus, we are going to catch up with Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher, joins us every Wednesday. Love the segments with Bill. We're actually working right now on a collaborating podcast to talk nothing but National League Baseball, something we both love. Looking forward to that. We'll talk AL baseball as well during that segment today. But yeah, looking forward to the Bill Lasky segment as well. That's all coming up, but it's here on Drive Time Sports on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss the play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
We got a lot of baseball talk to get into on the show today. We're going to talk both local and the big leagues. And we're going to start right now on the local end. Yesterday, the Emory Spartan baseball team falling on the road to South Sevier 14-5, their first region loss of the season. Emory now 9-3 overall, 4-1 in region play. Still in prime spot to claim a region championship. Again, just their first league defeat up to this point in time. Joining us right now to talk about all that and more, we have manager Rob Smith over the phone. Coach, as always, a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jordan.
Absolutely, Coach. I always look forward to the conversations. And we'll start by talking about yesterday's game. I know it's a tough one against South Sevier. You guys have really positioned yourself to possibly claim a Region 12 championship. I know every season has a hiccup from time to time. And really, you get rid of one inning, and it's a completely different contest. The bottom of the third seemed to be the big difference in this game.
Yeah, it kind of began in the first inning. We had guys at second and third, no outs, and didn't score, and that kind of set the tone for the rest of the game. I think we got to do a better job at getting our minds right before the game.
Does that matter that you guys are on the road? I mean, when you talk about getting the mind straight, now that we're this far in, you probably have had an opportunity to look at this team and say they perform better in certain situations, I would assume.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a mindset. It was tough. We didn't play at all last week due to spring break. I think, you know, we were playing really good baseball before that, and I think having the break kind of got us off track. I mean, but going forward, I think it was a good eye opener that we can't just show up and expect to win. We gotta come ready to play. We gotta come ready to compete each and every at bat, each and every pitch, and go forward from there.
As I mentioned, the bottom of the third seemed to be the difference in this game with South Sevier. But Coach, even trailing 9-2, you guys answer back and had a pretty decent fourth frame. And so you put yourself in position once again to rally from behind. So moral victories, look, I've talked to a million coaches about moral victories. They don't like them. You and I have talked about moral victories before, but still in this sense, for your team to battle back, put up a three spot in the fourth inning, you gave yourself an opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, the score doesn't show it. It was a closer game than it was. You know, we make a couple plays here and there, get even a couple bloopers, infield bloopers, anything, and we're right in the game. I think we left bases loaded three times with less than two outs, and then the very first inning, we had second and third with no outs and didn't score a run. And it kind of set the tone. It gave them the momentum. They're a young team. They're a scrappy team. Like I said, it kind of gave them the momentum, and they rolled with it, and we had to play catch-up the whole time.
Again, our guest right now is manager Rob Smith of the Emory High School baseball team. Emory right now 4-1 in league play. The great thing about the way baseball shapes out, Coach, when you look at the schedule, you guys will have an opportunity to get your revenge on South Sevier. That's why I love the way the baseball schedule is lined out. It's so different than basketball, where you go through one go-around and then two go-arounds. That's not necessarily the case here. You talked about this team being scrappy, this team being young and hungry. So when you look at it, going up against them again later this week, what did you learn that maybe you didn't know about going into the game?
I think it's more on us. We got to come with a better mindset, ready to play baseball, ready to compete. I think that's one thing I learned the most, and I hope the kids learn, is that they can't just show up. We got to have the mindset that, hey, it's baseball. Anybody can beat you at any time if you're not ready to play. Going forward, that's kind of what our focus is going to be on, is that our mindset's where it needs to be, game in and game out.
Coach, for the remainder of the month, you guys have such a really packed schedule. Again, with a game Tuesday, got a couple of games this week. Next week, it's a big week against Carbon, only two games. But after that, I mean, we're looking at games that just seem to be popping up left and right. And the spring break can be a good thing for these kids, knowing that the spring sports season is so compact. So even though you came back maybe a little sluggish out of spring break, is it something that will be a benefit for you guys moving forward, knowing that you play so many games in so many days?
Yeah, no. I mean, I liked our focus before spring break. I felt like it wasn't quite there yesterday, but hopefully it was an eye-opener and we can bounce back and take care of business.
4-1 in league play, as I alluded to. You guys are in position to win a Region 12 championship. It's a great spot to be in, five games into league play. As you take a look at the way the region is developing, where does Emory fit in this region? Have you been able to pinpoint that?
I think we're one of the top teams there in the region. We have a good chance. I mean, Carbon's a good baseball team. It's going to come down to who plays good, and who takes care of business next week. But I feel like we have a good chance to compete for it. So.
Right now, number 7 in the RPI, do you care about that at all? Or is it just region play?
We've got to take care of business. We were ranked third. We've dropped. I think that kind of got in the kids' head a little bit that we were ranked so high, and they kind of relaxed a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, it's not a big thing. You got to take care of game by game.
Yeah, it's got to be tough, though. I mean, because rankings in sports generally do not mean a whole lot, right? Like, we just come out of March Madness, and the biggest problem with March Madness is we have this top 25 ranking, and it means absolutely nothing all year long, right? College football, for the majority of it, it doesn't mean anything. With this RPI in high school, it's rankings that kind of give you a feel of where you may end up. And so I'm sure that's probably a tough act to balance as a coach. You don't want to pay attention to them, but in the same sense, this formula can tell you where you're at.
Yeah, I mean, it shows where we're at. It shows our strength. But at the same time, you got to go play game by game. It's high school baseball. Anything can happen. A lower seed can be a higher seed at any moment. You see that in MLB all the time. Those weaker teams, they do beat the better teams. But at the same time, I mean, I preach pitch by pitch, win each pitch. It's the same thing for a ball game. We gotta take each one game at a time.
Coach, let's talk about the remainder of the week for this squad. Again, just trying to get acclimated to a regular schedule after getting spring break. Talk to me about the way the remainder of the week plays out and what you're looking forward to.
So we have Union tomorrow, and then South Sevier on Friday. Union's a good ball club. We're going to have to go, we'll get one day of practice today. We're going to focus on the things we struggled on yesterday. And kind of try to set the tone for the rest of the week. Like I said, we got Union tomorrow and South Sevier again on Friday.
Yeah, and I don't want to go back and rehash that conversation about the RPI, but in years past, a game against Union in April would be nothing more than an opportunity to get out and see live pitching, to see live action against a team that's not your own. Coach, this year, Union's number 4. This could help you guys tremendously if you were to come out on top of the victory.
Yeah, I mean, it could in RBI, in the RPI, mindset for the kids, it could help them out as well. I think they look more into the RPI than I have, but it goes back to taking care of the game that's in front of us.
With that being said, Coach, the remainder of the month really sets the stage for what we have in May, and you don't ever want to look too far ahead, but now it seems like it is go time now. I mean, I know that once the season starts, every game counts, but now you're in the back half of the season. So, I mean, it's a fair assessment to say it's go time.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing I talked to the kids about. Yesterday, after we lost, we got to keep pushing forward. We've got 8 games left before the state tournament. let's not take a downfall here. Let's keep trying to progress and keep trying to get better each time.
Again, manager Rob Smith of the Emory Spartans, our guest right now. Coach, we'll end with this. As far as health on the team, how do you guys look? I'm sure there's little nicks and bruises, sore arms. I mean, that's typical. But on the injury front, does everything look good?
Yeah, I mean, I got a couple kids that are banged up, mostly leg problems. But other than that, I mean, we had a good week off to try to heal those guys up. So looking at that, we're good health-wise. Going forward, we should be good.
Well, Coach, it is always fun to get you on. It's great to get an update on the team. I definitely appreciate the time. Best of luck against Union tomorrow and then South Sevier on Friday, and I know we'll catch up again next week.
All right, sounds good. Thanks.
Let's take another quick commercial break. We do have more coming up here on Drive Time Sports. So we're going to talk a lot of baseball. We just talked local. We're going to maneuver over to the national scene when we return. It's Drive Time Sports, and it's right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Pitch to Bellinger. He swings and he hits a high fly ball right center field. This ball's gone!
Now 3-1 for Acuna. Swinging a high fly ball! Deep to left field! Way, way back! It's gone!
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Time for some more Major League Baseball talk. And we're just moving through the season. Couple of weeks in already, and there's been some fun storylines. You know, we've jumped around and talked about how teams have performed so far this year. We're going to do that again. Joining us as he does each Wednesday here on the show, we have former big league pitcher Bill Lasky right now with KNPR working the pre- and post games for the San Francisco Giants. And Bill, as always, it's a pleasure to get you back on.
Yeah, baseball is in full circle. Teams are playing everywhere, doubleheaders, some of them. And I just think it's good. Everything's starting to come about. You know, fans are back in the stands. Baseball is back, as we always talk about. And it's an exciting time. It's springtime. So let's get the ball rolling.
Yeah, let's start by talking about the American League and a team that is finally getting moving in the Oakland A's. They got off to such a terrible start to this season, and they were getting belted yesterday. Managed to come back, pick up a 7-5 win, and just looking at the way things have gone for this team, they've now won four straight after starting 0-6 to this season. They did get a win against the Dodgers, took 10 innings, took a Kenley Jansen meltdown for them to get that victory. But it seems like since that point, this is a team now that's won 5 out of 6, and this is the Oakland A's that I expected going into the season.
Yeah, I expected it too. I picked the Astros when we first took our breakdowns, and the Angels all of a sudden are playing well. But I just believe this Oakland A's team is so strong, and they have depth. And Chapman was saying this is the best team he's ever played on. The clubhouse is now starting to come together. Their pitching staff, their bullpen is definitely stronger than it was years back. I just see this team starting to click now, and you know, as you said, they won four straight. They went to Arizona and took two of them from them, and that was more of a slugfest. But, you know, Piscotty is just really ripping the cover off the ball for them. And it's just a time factor with the A's. You and I both talk how strong they are. And it's going to be a three-team race. I think the Angels and the Astros will contend, and I think the A's will somehow get in front of them.
Yeah, I mean, we don't ever want to jump to conclusions because it's a 162-game marathon. But when I'm looking at the 0-6 A's, and you and I talked about how tough this West is going to be. The Angels are better. The Astros are the Astros. Seattle doesn't look bad. You wonder what's too big of a hole to climb out of. And again, it's only 6 games. And so I think you can speak to this as a player. While fans and media sometimes want to jump to conclusions, 162 games, there was probably no worry in that clubhouse, was there?
I don't believe so. I really think it takes a couple months to finally figure out what your team's like, who's hot, who's not. Your lineups, you'll change here and there. Again, starting pitching is going to change. How many innings? The arms start getting stronger. The pitch count starts going up. And I look at it first month, so-so. You're starting to get a feel. The weather's, you know, different in different parts of the country. And then that second month starts coming around and you start winning series and you start looking up, who am I behind? How many games am I behind? When can I catch up? And I think that's when I start outplaying what teams are going to be that good and what separates those divisions.
Is it more alarming to you that at this stage in the season, the Oakland A's are under 500 or the New York Yankees are under 500? Which one is more alarming to you?
I'm surprised by the Yankees. The Yankees have not played well at all. They've been playing inconsistent, and that team usually is pretty strong in the beginning of the years. You look in that division, look at the Red Sox. They've won 7 in a row. They're hitting the hell out of the ball. Playing in the snow yesterday in Minnesota. Goofy times of weather, and they're playing in it. But they're playing really well, and the Yankees are just kind of fluttering right now. And you just wonder how much rope they're going to get before they start making changes.
Yeah, and I think the Minnesota Twins are another team that I think both of us really liked right in the offseason, and this is a team that has played middling baseball so far. And I guess just comparing the leagues, there are more surprises and more sluggish baseball being played in the AL than the NL. That's my estimation 15 games into the season.
And you can look at that. Look at your standings. Most of those teams are all 500 or one under or two under. And the leaders are, you know, game up, half a game up. There's really nobody taking a shot at anybody in the American League. And you look at the National League, you got the Dodgers who really are playing the best. And then you got the Padres are right behind them. And then the Giants are playing pretty well. And then you look in the Central, the Reds are winning that division. So I really believe the NL West is the strongest of anybody. I think they're the strongest in any division. And it's sure breaking really quick when you look at Colorado and Arizona, how they're falling fast. But I agree with you. I think the American League teams, they're not consistent yet, and there's a lot of more deficits than trying to build a good winning streak.
Again, Bill Lasky, our guest, as we talk Major League Baseball. Bill, you point out the West, and 11 games into the season, we have the Dodgers sitting at 9-2. And for those who haven't really followed the Dodgers, haven't watched a lot of baseball, this is a team that legitimately could be 11-0. They blew a game against the A's when Jansen had a meltdown, which Dodger fans, I know, have become accustomed to. And then you go back to the season-opening loss to the Rockies. They played possibly the worst game that they could play and had a chance to win it in the ninth inning. This team legitimately had a chance to be 11-0. I mean, that's the way I view the Dodgers. And then I look at the performance that we saw from Trevor Bauer again yesterday. He has exceeded my expectations. I thought that there would be a little bit of an adjusting period. But this Dodger team, it's one thing in the offseason we talk about on paper. Now, this team has exceeded my expectations to start the year.
You know, I never thought about it, about being 11-0, but you're absolutely right. They could have easily done it. And they're resting guys. They rest Betts. Bellinger's on the IL. They're still strong. They won yesterday 7-0. They're still putting 10, 11 hits up a game. Pitching staff, you got Price coming out of the bullpen. How unusual you see that. That guy should be in a rotation somewhere. They're strong every which way, pitching, defense, and the offensive side. And I don't think this team's going to flutter at all. This weekend, they're going to play the Padres. It should be an interesting series. They're talking about Tatis Jr. coming back. I just hope they don't rush him, because if they rush him and he gets hurt again, now he's going to be out for the year.
You know what that tells me? And again, you're a former player. You're around the Giants. And so if I'm off on this, you tell me. If you bring Tatis Jr. back this weekend to face the Dodgers, that tells me there is doubt within that organization that you are mentally prepared to face this Dodger team in the long run, and you need a confidence boost to win this series this weekend, because there's no other explanation. There really is no other explanation. We're talking about a marathon season. Is it really that important to this franchise that they win a series against the Dodgers? You're going to bring Tatis Jr. back and risk injury? To me, it's a mental thing.
It seems like it, and I'm not understanding. Maybe we don't know the extent of the injury. Maybe it's not as bad as we're hearing or we're reading into. Maybe it's a strain. We don't know. Only they know. Their doctors know. How much money they invested in him, and to push him just because it's a Dodgers series to get him well, I don't know the ramifications. It's a 50-50, or maybe he is well. We don't know. That's the inside information. The public, media, we don't find out. And with the media not being able to go into the clubhouses, they can't find out that information. It's all through Zoom interviews. So those are the things that media like you and I cover, we don't know the ramifications. But I tell you what, from an outside looking in, that's sure a lot of money and a lot of investment to put in to rush this kid, who is a fabulous player, into a series against the Dodgers coming right out of the injury.
Yeah, talking about a 14-year contract, I agree with you. Let's jump over to the Central. The Brewers did encounter a couple of injuries. Yelich is going to miss a couple of games. Lorenzo Cain has made his way onto the IL. But it's really not the story of the Brewers. I mean, we talked about the outfield and just how dynamic they could be. We've talked about the Cardinals, and I know that Arenado had a nice hit streak going, and the Cardinals have played 500 baseball. The Cubs are right there hovering around 500. But the story for me has been the Cincinnati Reds and the way they have just pounded the baseball so far this season. A plus 22 run differential, which is second to only the Dodgers. They're 7-3 this year. They have scored 75 runs. Now, for as dynamic as that Dodger offense is, the Reds have put up 11 more runs. They're doing it with Tyler Naquin. It's not the Joey Votto show anymore, and I'm a big Votto guy, but when you look at Jesse Winker, you look at Aquino, you look at Suarez, this team has some offensive weapons, and boy, have they been fun to watch.
And they have. I got to watch them in the last two games again against the Giants. The Giants have split with them. And you're absolutely right. New names on that circus. Castellanos is another one. Votto's hit a couple home runs here. You just can't, you know, say enough about Votto. He's a professional hitter. He goes the opposite way for a home run. Last night against starter for the Giants, Gausman, and then he goes into the water the night before. And he's just a professional hitter, and you can't say enough about Joey Votto. But I like all the add-ons they have, and you're absolutely right. They have a potent offense. But on the other hand, they're going to have to score a lot of runs because their pitching is not that good. That bullpen has so many question marks, and I think that's where they're going to get hurt more than anything. They need to get some better arms in that bullpen, and they're average to below average right now.
When you watch this team play, Bill, and you've had the opportunity over the last couple of days, it seems to me they have a little chip on their shoulder. And I don't know if that's a product of what David Bell has brought to the table. I don't know, but you just go to the opening series against the Cardinals where we had a bench-clearing, I don't want to call it a brawl, but a bench-clearing disagreement. It just seems like this team plays with a little chip on their shoulder. And I agree with you, the staff is probably something that may be the downfall of this team, but they play with some swag.
They do, and they do. They definitely have the confidence. They pick each other up. You see them in the dugout talking all the time. The communication with this team is a lot better this year than in the past. It seems like they're more inclusive on what they have to do and what they try to do, and the excitement in that clubhouse the last couple of days, the clubhouse and the dugout. This team is definitely not going to fall apart. But again, I don't think they have enough pitching to take over that Central. I just don't think that's going to weather well as the season continues.
All right, we'll end with this. We're going to jump another division in the National League, and we'll go to the East, where we had the Braves and the Phillies this past Sunday. I got to get your thoughts on this. I went off on it Monday here on the show. What's the mood around Major League Baseball following Sunday's game, where instant replay absolutely failed in the terms of deciding a winner or a loser in a game? And that's, I mean, honestly, we're not over-exaggerating, because Baum did not score on that play. It was blatantly obvious. I have no idea what the people in New York were looking at when they went back and reviewed this and decided to rule him safe. What's the attitude around Major League Baseball following a debacle on replay like that?
I think Major League Baseball needs to either drop instant replay, because they're faulting, and it's falling backwards. I go back to the Marlins against the Mets when Conforte put his arm pad in on a strike, and it's called hit by pitch, and they win the game that one too. I was watching that game. I saw the replay. It was so obvious, and Don Mattingly was going nuts. The whole Marlin team was going nuts, and they said it was the proper way. It's not. If a ball's a strike, you cannot put your arm in. It's an automatic out. And they didn't do it right. They didn't even know the rules. And that's what bothers me. You got veteran umpires that don't know the rules yet, and it's getting by them. And that call in that game was atrocious. It was just terrible. Bad for baseball. Everything you could throw in an adjective it was just the worst way to win a game. And they blew it off and walked off the field like everything was fine. It needs to be fixed, and it needs to be fixed fast, because that's what's going to drive people away from the game. And when you got your home team, you know, winning games like this, when you hear Ron Darling going off saying, this isn't the way baseball should be played, and he's a Mets announcer. So instant replay needs to be fixed, and I'm with you. Who is in that instant replay booth watching this? Maybe they need to get some ex-players in there besides all umpires. Maybe they need to get a direction of, let's get a surplus of players in there as well as umpires so we get this right, because they're not getting it right. And I don't believe this needs to continue like this, because it's going to push people and fans away rather than building it up and bringing fans to the game.
Yeah, one game is not more important than the other. As you mentioned, the Mets and the Marlins, I agree with you 100%. What I believe exaggerated the issue was the fact that the Phillies and the Braves, we're talking Sunday night baseball, and early season baseball is the perfect opportunity to get lighthearted fans hooked. And if you're a lighthearted fan, you tune in to watch an exciting game featuring Ronald Acuna and Bryce Harper, two of the brightest stars, and you see it end like that? Horrible for the game.
It is, and that's what I'm saying. The brand of baseball in the first month of the game, not even a month, couple weeks, instant replay is ruining the game, and it's supposed to be helping the game. And this has been the worst epic of decisions on instant replay. It's taken too long when the umpires get together. It's taken too long for the instant replay to come back to the field, and that really pushes people away. When you're sitting here watching the game and it's taken 2, 3, 4 minutes and you're like, well, let's go to another channel, because that's what's happening. And people aren't going to wait for this. Instant replay should take less than 30 seconds. If you're on every game like they say they are, in the booth or wherever they're watching this, it should be done that fast. It should not take that long. And I'm with you. It's going to push people away. And I'm going to continue to say it. They need to fix this, and they need to push forward getting baseball back into the eyes of the fans.
Bill Lasky, again, former big league pitcher, now with KMBR, doing pre- and post games for the San Francisco Giants. Bill, always a pleasure to get you on. Of course, let the listeners know where they can find more of you.
I'm doing good. I'll be at KMBR this weekend. The Marlins, the Giants are traveling. Marlins, you got me heated up today. You got my...
That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Pepper going. You got me going already this morning. But it's good baseball talk. That's what I enjoy doing it. And you know what? Fans need to engage just like we are, because we're watching this daily and some of the things that are happening in baseball. And it's supposed to be the best sport in the game, and things are faltering, and you and I have to point this out, and I think the fans in your area understand it. I know the fans here in San Francisco understand it, and they just need to fix it. That's what they need to do. So, yeah, I'm up ready to go now. So I got an afternoon game here in San Francisco with the Reds, Johnny Cueto back on the hill. So I'm up and rolling, and hope you're doing well. Hope your fans are doing great, and looking forward to another chit-chat with you soon.
Looking forward to it, Bill. Thank you again.
All right, have a good day.
Let's take a quick commercial break. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM, the play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Fun show talking baseball. We're going to talk more baseball tomorrow. I'm excited about our guest. We're going to be joined by Dave Parker, the Cobra. You remember Dave Parker. Played for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Two-time World Series champion. Won one with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Won one with the Oakland A's. He was in such a difficult spot because Dave Parker was the replacement for Roberto Clemente. And he really came up due to the tragedy. So you have Pittsburgh just reeling over this just shocking tragedy. I mean, it's Roberto Clemente, one of the greatest of all time. And you have Dave Parker, who could have played in major league, could have played in the big leagues when he was a teenager, but the Pirates were so stacked in the outfield, he embraced it. He embraced the pressure of stepping in for someone like Roberto Clemente. And when you look at his resume as a player, 7-time All-Star, Two-time World Series champ, NL MVP in 1978, three-time Gold Glove Award winner, three-time Silver Slugger Award winner, two-time NL batting champ, had a resurgence with the Cincinnati Reds, loses in the 1988 World Series to the Dodgers, fights back with the A's in 1989, and gets another World Series championship ring. I can't wait for this. This is going to be a fantastic interview. The Cobra, Dave Parker, will join us on the show. That'll be tomorrow. Out of time on this edition. We will be back again tomorrow. Same time, same place. 4 to 5, and it's right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Do not forget, you can podcast, listen on demand to Drive Time Sports right now at CastleCountryRadio.com. Have a terrific day. Be safe. I am out.